Welcome back. Time to talk to Mitch Henderson. Mitchell, are you there? And welcome back.
I'm here.
This Monday. Good. How goes
it?
I read better than in Kursk on the run. I read these little snippets of Zelensky, what he's doing there. Mission accomplished, he said, in Kursk, our invasion of Kursk. He lost over 40,000 dead Christian Ukrainian men and women in Kursk, trying to hold on to that territory, which was Russian. They're all basically gone now, and supposedly over 30 mercenaries from NATO countries involved with them. I think Putin is letting them run and just get the hell out. He's not trying to annihilate them all, so he doesn't have to wear that on him. You know, I'm a butcher of people. It's Zelensky who's the butcher. This is disgusting.
Yeah.
The whole thing is absolutely disgusting. And you've got France and Germany, which have together just about the same population Russia does, those two countries. And Macron, of course, is practically demanding war. We will put French troops as peacekeepers in Ukraine without Russian permission. We don't need their permission, says Macron, whose wife is a guy, in case you didn't know that. And congratulations to Candace Owens for standing on that. We've been saying it here for years, but she's really pounded at home, and it's true. The guy. So, all right, we have big problems there. And if somebody doesn't shut Macron down and this idiot in the UK, in England, we may well have a big war in Europe, big war. Of course, probably the most provocative people in this war configuration are the Poles. Once again, the Poles started World War II, and they're trying to start this one. They will not back down. They're asking for nuclear weapons now. It's crazy. Anyhow, what you got on tap tonight?
Well, first let me make some comments on that. Just to make this crystal clear, okay, I've said this before, but Russia is surrounded on the north by NATO, the west by NATO, the east by NATO. The south, they do not want to be completely surrounded. So the simple fact is this. Russia will not accept Ukraine and NATO. Russia will in no circumstances accept NATO troops or NATO bases in Ukraine either. It's not going to happen. This is existential threat to Russia. They will go to nuclear war. They will do it. What have they got to lose? They're going to lose if they don't do it. They're going to lose.
I agree.
So they have to go nuclear. Okay, so that's just a fact. That's not negotiable. That's not anything that's negotiable. Okay. The second thing is Zelensky. You know, he may be a perverted tranny clown, but he is playing Trump. Okay. Russia has been saying for a year there is no way they want a ceasefire. They want a final solution. They will settle for nothing less. They've said it time and time again. No ceasefires. No ceasefires. So they go to Saudi Arabia after Trump cut off all aid to Ukraine. Thank God. Okay. Then they go to Saudi Arabia, and what does Zelensky do? He says, "Oh, I'm for a ceasefire." Well, he's for a ceasefire because he knows for a fact that Russia doesn't want one. So he's offering Trump nothing to get all the aid and intelligence and stuff reinstated. I mean, he just played Trump. So then when Putin starts actually talking like, well, if we have these conditions, we can have a ceasefire. What is Zelensky says? He says, oh, well, you know, 30 days will not be enough time to actually negotiate a peace treaty. And how does he know that? Because he has no intentions of doing that. So he's just playing Trump. And the Europeans, they want this. So where does this mentality come from? So that's what I want to talk about tonight, the image of the beast.
Very good.
So in the 3rd century B.C., the Chinese Confucian philosopher Zun Quang wrote in his book Zhu Xi that you can know who rules you by who you are not allowed to criticize. The French Enlightenment philosopher Voltaire said the same thing in the 18th century. Xun Quang also said that if you want to improve yourself, you should associate yourself with better people. In the first century AD, the Roman Stoic philosopher Seneca said the same thing. I bring this up to illustrate that both sayings are just common sense. They are sort of statements of the obvious. So who rules America and the world? You can criticize the United States, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, but you are simply not allowed to criticize Israel for anything, not even war crimes, crimes against humanity, or ethnic cleansing. If a foreigner protests American policy, like the protesters that are out waving Mexican flags protesting the deportation of illegal aliens, they will not be arrested or deported. But if a protester is protesting against genocide in the Gaza Strip at the hands of Israel, they will be arrested and deported. You can criticize Christians in the most rude and hateful manner, and that is protected speech. But if you criticize Judaism in any matter, it is anti-Semitism and is hate speech.
Yep.
If you burn an American flag, that is freedom of speech. If you burn an Israeli flag, it is a hate crime, and you will be arrested. It is clear that we can criticize the American government, that we cannot criticize the Israeli government, no matter what evil they do. So who rules America and the American people? Israel and Judaism clearly rules us. But let's be more precise, because it is not religious Jews that rule us. They are just a cover for a more insidious political philosophy called Zionism. Zionism cloaks itself in Judaism in order to avoid criticism. Zionism is, in fact, atheist and anti-God. Zionism is the philosophy of Satan. Zionism is the Antichrist. Israel is the Antichrist. The American government is the tool, the backer, and the enforcer of the Antichrist. The Antichrist would have no power without its faithful servant, the United States. Zionism is a death cult bent on ethnic cleansing of every Arab, Christian, and Muslim in Eretz Israel. Zionism is behind the World Economic Forum Great Reset that wants to exterminate 7.5 billion human beings just as soon as they can. You see, the Great Reset is nothing more than a Jewish Marxist jubilee to redistribute all property in the world. The Zionists will own the property and rent it to us. We will own nothing and be happy, at least those of us who are left. Our world is a Zionist-constructed consensus reality that is, in fact, a death cult. This is a segue into a movie I saw in 1983 while I was a vice cop in Tampa, Florida. I watched a David Cronenberg movie called Videodrome, which was about snuff pornography. And I was at the time investigating a snuff porn ring called The Hands of Death that was kidnapping women from public spaces in Florida and murdering them to make snuff porn movies. Videodrome is about a Canadian UHF television company in Toronto that is searching for porn to put on TV. James Woods plays the TV channel executive that is researching various genres of pornography to broadcast. He finds a snuff porn site called Videodrome. Videodrome means the video arena. So it's a very generalized term, okay?
Right.
The key point to the movie is that the combination of sex and violence alters the reality of the viewer. The key moment is when they say the video has become flesh, suggesting that the sexually violent world of video becomes the reality of people watching it. Although Cronenberg is Jewish and an atheist, he often incorporates religious characters into his movies because that is how real people are, and it motivates them. The link between the Christian theme, the word became flesh, and the video became flesh, is stark. The medium of the word created reality of the everyday world, but the medium of video creates a new reality that creates a new man. This alludes to the message of another Canadian named Marshall McLuhan, who wrote in his 1964 book, Understanding Media, The Extension of Man, McLuhan mm-hmm. was a professor of communications at the University of Toronto. McLuhan right. said the medium is the message, meaning that the way a message, the medium, is delivered has as much, if not more, impact than mm-hmm. the content of the message itself, shaping how it is perceived and understood. In the movie, this is represented in Cronenberg's typical style of body horror when the videotapes are inserted directly into James Wood's abdomen through what looks like a huge vagina that appears on his abdomen, representing the video becoming flesh.
That sounds like a horrible movie.
The video was snuff porn. Yeah. The video was snuff porn is also indicative of creating the cognitive dissonance of linking sexual pleasure with pain and murder. Creating cognitive dissonance is the process of brainwashing. Cognitive dissonance is the psychological phenomenon where individuals experience discomfort when their beliefs or actions conflict, leading them to try to reduce this discomfort by changing their beliefs, behaviors, and perceptions to achieve consistency. People, if you've been following the news the past decades, you can see this is exactly what the news does. This is what movies do. This is what music does. They all create this dissonance. They all want to make you feel this discomfort so that they can manipulate you. In George Orwell's 1948 dystopian novel, 1984, this is called doublethink. Doublethink is the acceptance of contrary opinions or beliefs at the same time, especially as a result of political indoctrination. In Videodrome drives this home as manifesting a visual doublethink. A good contemporary example is that under the Marxist Biden regime, we were supposed to accept that men were in fact women and should be treated as such under the penalty of social canceling or civil and criminal law. We were supposed to believe things that we could clearly see were not true, like sex and gender being social constructs. And what you could clearly see, boys and girls, was not real. Also, race was a social construct and not real, even though you could clearly see white, black, and yellow people. This was classical doublethink, and it was fully intended to cause cognitive dissonance. The pedophile Marxist Biden regime also used what Orwell called newspeak. Newspeak is a language designed to limit thought and control citizens by restricting vocabulary and grammar in an attempt to prevent dissent and rebellion. You had to use people's preferred pronouns in an effort to reinforce the critical gender theory. Trannies were not men merely dressing as women. They were women, and you had to address them as such. It was a serious affront to misgender or dead name trannies. We just saw Congress last week when a committee chair misgendered Congressman Sarah McBride, calling him Mr. McBride and having Congressman Larson erupt in anger, virtue signaling for the world to see. You will have your reward here on earth, Mr. Larson. The Biden regime that actually fits the classical description of fascist called Trump a fascist. Fascism is a system where there is private ownership of the means of production, but the state dictates what may be produced. Biden's orders to stop the production or sale of gas stoves and gas cars was the very definition of fascism. In Marxism, there is supposed to be class conflict. In Nazism, there is supposed to be race conflict. The pedophile Biden regime engaged in racial conflict. So he was the classical definition of a Nazi, yet he called Trump a Nazi. This was all doublethink and newspeak. Call your opponent exactly what you are. As we can see, the Democratic Party is a clear and definite threat to democracy, yet the DNC went on and on about how Trump was a threat to democracy. This is very much intended to cause cognitive dissonance in the public mind. Cognitive dissonance is supposed to make the public feel agitated, anxious, and unsettled. Just look at the mainstream news media. I can look at a picture of the anchor and know exactly what they are going to say about any subject. In other words, I look at the picture and I look at the title below, what it's going to talk about. Yeah. I don't have to listen to it. I know exactly what they're going to say. It's so predictable. This is the same no matter what the network. None is going to go into any depth. They might as well just be sloganeers instead of journalists.
Well, that's
the only
what they
person
are.
That I have seen reliably going into any depth is Tucker Carlson, who, of course, was kicked off Fox News for doing so. Truth is not something the news media is interested in. So back to Videodrome. I can clearly see how the movie industry creates cognitive dissonance. We see Netflix doing historical movies where Hannibal is black, out leading an army of white soldiers, where the Greek Cleopatra is black. They simply were not, but we are supposed to believe this fiction. We even see the religious series Chosen has a multicultural Israel with many black families living freely among the Israelites. I do not think so. You see, movies like A Simple Plan, where the moral of the story is that if you find $4 million in drug money, the moral thing to do is give it to the police. That is not only not the moral thing to do, but also not what human nature tells you what to do. Okay? Or in the movie Sniper, Liam Neeson takes this kid to Chicago after the kid's mom is killed by a cartel hitman. It cost her brother his life to steal the money from the cartel, but the virtuous thing to do is burn the money instead of giving it to this newly orphaned kid to help him out in life. Human beings do not act that way. I can see that this is intentionally built into movies. I saw a French movie called 15 Minutes of War about some Somali terrorists kidnapping a busload of 21 school kids in Djibouti in 1976. The bus is stranded on the border between Djibouti and Somaliland. When the Somali troops open fire on the busload of children, the French army commander will not let the French troops fire back to protect the kids. Obeying government orders is more important than children's life, just like giving money you find to an undeserving government is the right thing to do. This is dissonance because I was a soldier once, and I would certainly open fire on anyone shooting at a busload of kids. I would open fire on American troops that were doing such a thing. Plus, every soldier and every cop knows that forgiveness is easier to get than permission. The movies expect you to believe insane things, and this creates cognitive dissonance. This is just not the way people behave, and they totally do this on purpose. Okay. Add to that, most movies, like in Videodrome, push the pornography of murder, adultery, theft, deception, and covetousness, which is just acquisitiveness, you know, trying to keep up with the Joneses, that almost always ends in murder. It is actually Satan's propaganda. Marshall McLuhan met Timothy Leary in New York in 1966. He said, turn on, tune in, and drop out. McLuhan meant to turn on your medium, video or social media, tune in to your interest, social media helps you with this election nowadays, and drop out of this world. That was the theme of the Obama production called Leave the World Behind, about people going into the apocalypse dependent on their social media. The movie implies that social media organizes people's lives and we depend on it. Everywhere we go, we see people on their phones entertaining themselves into Armageddon. Revelation 13:15 states, and I quote, "And he had the power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause to be killed as many as would not worship the beast. The image became flesh." We even have movies warning us about movies and social media. And they do this just to mess with us because they know that they can throw this in our face, and we're not going to get it. Okay. So this brings about another fact of what you can see if you've been following the media, just in a general sense. Okay. So this I call Welcome to the Revolution. I was a young man when Reagan became president. Peggy Noonan called it a revolution. It was not a substantial change. It did not feel like a revolution. George H.W. Bush followed Reagan, and he declared the New World Order after victory in the Gulf War of 1990. It was not the New World Order. It was the same world order that had been established in 1945 after World War II. Maybe revolutions are relative, but what I see going on now with both domestic and foreign policy is a real and substantial revolution.
Right.
The government is changing rapidly, not incrementally. So is all our foreign policy, except towards Israel. Trump has thrown the nation and the world off balance. Trump's revolution creates a cognitive dissonance on a global scale. We can, I mean, you can see it. Canadians are outraged at him. we can also say that he is continuing the tribulation, which just means distress, that began in 2020 with the great COVID obedience test. Ultimately, what they want us to obey is Israel. Only this time, they know that just losing your job will not be enough to convince you. You will have to lose everything, including your freedom and your life, if you do not worship the Star of David. The star was 6 points, 6 triangles, and 6 inner angles. 666.
Yeah, there it is.
God tries to make things obvious. He does not try to obscure things. It is what it is. It is what you're seeing, okay? But as Stalin once said, if you want to make an omelet, you have to crack some eggs. What is the end game for Trump? He is looking at the midterm election. He can remember when Bush Sr. won a great victory in the Gulf War in February 1991, but by November 1992, it meant nothing to the electorate. Trump is creating turmoil now that will have great effects 2 years from now when the midterm elections happen, and he knows that all the people who are upset now will have forgotten it by then. It is a gamble, but he who dares wins, okay? So everything that's going on is very intentional. They're playing everybody like a fiddle. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Same old. Nothing new. They just have more tech to make it easier. Now they've got AI. They have so many levels of psychology going on here that very few understand.
Yeah.
I'm not a master at this. I just know it. I watch. I see. The repetition is certainly at the baseline of all of it. Repetition. Keep repeating the same lie over and over again, and it'll be accepted as reality. And then you come to the idea of reality, and my God, the reality that most people operate from is not their own. They don't have a clue, though. Anyway.
Or look at another thing. I can see the revision of facts. Okay, when I did a piece a year ago on the Obama movie, leaving life behind. Okay, I looked. I was looking for quotes from Marshall McLuhan. Okay,
pronounced McLuhan. McLuhan.
McLuhan.
He doesn't say Han. McLuhan. Just FYI.
Okay, McLuhan. All right. I'm not that good with the Irish, I guess. So.
I remember that quote. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's what's interesting is when I looked up that quote. A year ago, that quote said what I just said today. Okay, now that is erased. Now it's just what Timothy Leary says, and it means to turn on to drugs, tune in to the hallucinogenic world, and to drop out of society.
Right.
That's not what it originally meant. That's not what McLuhan meant. That is not what it was about. But now they have altered the history and the internet and made it mean something else, okay? Voltaire said this, you can tell who rules you by who you're not allowed to criticize. I read Voltaire when I was a young man in college back in the 1970s and 80s and stuff. I read all these people. I know what they said. And I just quoted for you how a guy in ancient China 2,000 years ago said the same thing. But if you look this quote up on the internet, they will say this. This is falsely attributed to Voltaire. This quote was made up by a Nazi radio guy back in 2005. Okay. You know what? That is an outright lie. And that's what if you look it up on the internet, that's what it's going to tell you now. It did not tell me that a year ago. But now that's what it says. Okay, they're changing the reality of everything. They're doing it. They had a word for this back 10 years ago. I had a neighbor, and he called it the Mandela effect. Okay, and he says because you know something, you've known it for years, and then all of a sudden it has changed. Okay, and what is it that's changing it? Well, it's the people who run our world, the people who want to shape our consciousness. A good example of this is Orwell himself said. There's an addenda to 1984 in the back talking about newspeak, and he says, well, you make certain thoughts impossible by changing the word. So instead of saying good and evil, it becomes good and ungood. Okay, so you just take the opposite and make it un, and this is supposed to soften it. I see these videos on YouTube now and on TikTok. And what they say when they say somebody is killed, they are unalived. This is
who
directly.
Said this? Wait.
This is on YouTube and TikTok videos. Instead of saying somebody was killed, they were unalived.
I gotcha.
And they won't use the word gun. They say pew pew. Okay. I mean, they're shaping our yeah. You know, it is yeah. it is words and grammar that shapes your consciousness.
This is the Great Reset. It's being unraveled right now. It's happening.
Yes.
Don't make any mistakes. It's being done with cookies and donuts they're throwing us and sugar-coated this and that. But the reality of it is being missed by a lot of people because their reality is false. They don't know what reality is. They don't have a chance. Are you Irish, Mitch? Are you Irish?
You know what? I've got a little bit of Irish in me. It's a great-great-grandfather was Irish.
Got it. Should we do something for St. Paddy's Day? I don't know. I could do it. I could do a little something. Maybe we should.
Here, yeah, let's see. I think so.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm half Irish.
Are you? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really relate. Yeah, I've got German and Irish. I don't... I just don't relate to it like most people do. Let me go to YouTube here and find this.
Okay.
It was a song that everybody knows. And it was voted, this particular version, as being the greatest version of this song ever sung or recorded by Irish people all around the world. This is true. Hold on. I think we should do this for at least take a little break. All right, here we go. This is a good one.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the roses falling. It's you must go and I must bide. But come ye back when summer's in the meadow, or when the and white with snow. I'll be here in sunshine or in shadow. Oh, Danny boy, oh, Danny boy, I love you so. But when ye come and all the flowers are dying, if I am dead as dead I well may be, you come and find the place where I am lying, and kneel and say an Ave there for me. And I shall hear, though soft you tread above me, and all my grave will warmer, sweeter be. I shall sleep in peace until you come to me.
How's that?
Good. I was going to say, you know, I can see the Irish in me. It mostly exhibited my love of whiskey and my Irish sense of humor. Gotcha. Let me give you an example of my sense of humor.
Who was that singing, okay. Mitch? Who was that singing?
You know, I can't remember who that was.
That's Mario Lanza.
Mario Lanza, all right. Yeah.
He could do it all. Anyway, very good. Happy Irish to everyone out there. St. Paddy's Day. All right, go ahead.
So let me tell you my Irish sense of humor. This is just an example of it. So my mother-in-law was a very straight person. She was very judgmental and sanctimonious like Chris. If you ever saw Church Lady on Saturday Night Live, she was spitting image of this, the way she talked and everything, okay? So she came down to visit us, and my son was like 6 years old, okay? So I'm out working on the car, and she brings my son out, and she says to my son, she says, well, Noah, does your daddy teach you about tools? And I turned around, and I said, sure I do. So I held up a pair of pliers, and I said, Noah, what are these? And he said, those are pliers, Daddy. And I said, so what do we use pliers for, Noah? And my little son says, we use pliers to extract the truth from people. My mother-in-law was just aghast at this, but I had set this up because this is Irish humor. Okay, it's a sort of a I remember when I went to I went through the EMT course. I had this Irish instructor, and he was telling his life story, and he says, "Yeah, his mom had him at a bar when she was drunk, drinking whiskey and stuff." I mean, these are just, you know, Irish humor is just, it's sort of a, it's very similar to like hillbilly humor or redneck humor, you know, to anybody out there who can read.
Okay. All right. Got it. Very good. All right. Back to the main course. The Beast. Who is the Beast? I mean, do we have one Beast? Seems like we have a little coterie of beasts out there. Starmer,
well,
I wouldn't keep him out. I mean, this is a room full of beasts. Macron?
Yeah, I think what it is it's just a general term for... You see, the Antichrist is not just a person. Actually, in Scripture, it's more of a system than it is a person. Okay.
Got it.
For example, the Zionism is the Antichrist. It's an Antichrist system, okay? But it doesn't necessarily have to ascribe to any certain person, okay? I mean, we can clearly see that when we call Israel a beast, they're murdering people like crazy. They have no law, no sense of propriety. They're attacking a helpless Syria.
That's
okay,
right.
I mean, just everything they do is just evil and wicked. I mean, listen, it's hard to sit back in your comfortable house in America and think that that anything near approaching the apocalypse or Armageddon is going on. But you go sit in Gaza or the West Bank or in southern Syria right now, and it sort of very much looks like Armageddon right now to those people. These people are suffering miserably. Israel's cutting off all water, all food, all supplies to the people in the Gaza Strip. These are human beings that they're doing it to. Okay, so, you know, it's just...
What does that make the perpetrators of this outrage? They're not human. This is not human behavior.
No, it's the beast. These are the beast.
That's the ultimate beast.
Right,
psychology.
Right. So in worshiping the beast, I mean, look at our government that got elected in. Now, you know, there's many things I'm very happy about them with. You know, I'm happy that they sent an airplane load of 223 Venezuelan and Salvadoran gang members to CICOT in El Salvador. That makes me very happy. I see the Democrats and the Democrat media glorifying this judge who would protect them rather than protect us, the Americans.
Here's the problem, Mitch. Okay. The problem is simple. 230, whatever it was, these are hardcore psychopaths. I think everybody agrees with that. It took over a month to get them gathered together. A lot of money involved, putting them on a plane and all that. 230 in a month. How many out of the 1.2 million bad guys here, criminals here, do you think he's going to be able to remove from this country in 4 years at 230 a month? Do the math.
Like Judge Voice. Yeah.
Do the math.
But listen, at the height, I remember in 2023, in December, 15,000 illegal aliens came per day. Trump so far has deported 30,000. That's 2 days worth of people last.
Do the math again. And I don't know where you got that figure. I haven't seen that yet. I don't know. I don't know
which figure.
Anymore.
The 15,000 a day?
No, the only figure I ever heard was 466 a day, Mitch. That's it.
No,
466 a day. And you're talking about Biden, yes. But no,
Biden. In 2023, in December, 15,000 illegals per day came across the border.
Right. I have not heard 30,000
so far has shipped 30,000 now. That's 2 days.
Where have we heard that? Where did you get that figure? I'm not saying it's wrong or right.
The 30,000?
Yeah.
That was in the, I heard that Carolyn Levitt or something said that during the news briefing.
Levitt? That's Jewish. Be careful.
Yeah.
The other thing I would say is that the only figure I heard was the average was 466 a day. That's it. Now do the math on that. Even if that's doubled.
Much.
No, to 924 a day.
Yeah.
Do the math. 30 million? Come on. He's going to knock down some numbers over time. He'll get some bad guys out of here, and that'll be the end of it. Done. Time will run out. We're not going to get rid of 30 million people. It's not going to happen unless you somehow threaten them into self-deporting, like I've suggested multiple times. The effort is not there to do this, or other things would have been done.
They started a new app on the thing where you can register and self-deport yourself. The benefit for the people to self-deport is if they self-deport, they can apply for a visa again sometime. If you get deported, that is not going to happen.
Well, what you need to do is force them to deport themselves, tell them you can keep your pickup truck, your TV, pack it up, come to the border, you'll get another tank of gas or diesel, keep driving, and you're out of here. If you stay here more than a month after being warned, you will do 2 years at hard labor 6 days a week, making America great again. Think about it. That's how you do it.
Well, listen, a lot of people are unaware of this, but let me reemphasize this. I mean, my dad was a Border Patrolman and immigration officer, so I heard this all my life. I actually know the law because he used to talk about it all the time. So if you illegally come to the United States, that means you cross the border without going through customs and immigration. You cross the border somewhere where there is no immigration.
That's right.
Very easy to do, you know. If you do that, that is a crime. That is a misdemeanor crime the first time you do it. Do you know the second time you do it, it's a felony? But we since my dad was Border Patrolman in the 60s and 70s, we would not prosecute these people. We would not put them in jail for doing that. We have not enforced their immigration laws forever.
Okay? We don't need new laws.
And that's
part
of the problem. We just need
to
enforce them.
They're not enforcing the laws. Correct.
Right.
It's always been
exactly.
a problem. Yeah.
Now, you'll hear a congressman and these people saying, well, illegal entry is a civil matter. Well, no, that is incorrect. What's a civil matter is if you are a foreigner and you get a visa to come to the United States, okay, you can actually overstay your visa, okay? Now, that is not a crime because guess what? If you came into America with a visa, did you enter the country illegally? You did not. You came in legally. So you haven't broken the crime, okay? So overstaying your visa is a civil matter, and what they generally happen is they get what they call a voluntary departure. They just tell you, okay, yeah, you got 30 days to get out of the country. And then after that, then you've broken other laws, then you could be arrested.
Right.
So what if I am down in Sonora State, and I cross the border, I jump across the border into the United States, not going through customs and immigration. I'm an American citizen. Have I committed a crime? Yes, I have. I committed the crime of illegal entry. Okay? The law doesn't specify who does it. Anybody that does that has broken the law. Even Americans that do it break the law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So there's this myth. Remember we were talking earlier about how they define things nebulously so that it doesn't mean what it really means? This is what they do in the news media for us, okay? You hear them day after day, oh, the rights of these murdering, raping people, the rights of these illegal aliens. It's like we got to listen constantly for the rights of all these other people, but they never talk about the rights of American citizens who were born and raised here, who have no other country to go to. They don't care about our rights. They just care about bad people's rights. Now, let me ask you this. If all the government cares about is bad people's rights, what kind of people are the government? They're bad people, okay?
I like that. It's fine with me. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, so there's a lot of myths and stuff about immigration. Here's another thing. Let me just say this the way that social media works, okay? Like, I'll go to a YouTube thing, and I'll make a comment, right? And I'll say, well, these people are Marxists. And usually I'm talking about any random Democrat political hack, okay? I say this is a Marxist. So what will happen is I'll get a flurry of people saying this. You don't know what Marxism is, okay? This is what they will say, all right? If I try to respond back, there is no response back. So there is no free discourse. It's just that people are allowed to ridicule me and put me down like I don't know what a Marxist is, but I cannot respond. They don't want me to respond because it's a rigged game. If you think for a minute that you have freedom of speech in America, you do not, okay?
Well, you don't live in reality.
They are trying to silence you in every way that they can, okay? So it hasn't changed. Even with Trump as president, social media is still censoring you just like it did 2 or 3 months ago, okay? There's no let-up on that at all. Mm-hmm. Some things are important. Now, to say, now what would I know about Marxism? Okay, I think I've talked a lot about on this program about what Marxism is. Okay, I know it by heart. Okay, I know it very well. I was a Cold Warrior during the Cold War. My enemy was Marxism, and I studied it. I read it. I had good friends these good friends, but they were military veterans that I do, that served what I did, but they became actual communists. Okay, one was a Maoist, and one became he became an official in the Socialist Workers Party, Trotskyite. Okay, so I listened for hours about their philosophies and worldviews and what Marxism was and the promise of Marxism and Marxist strategy and so forth and so on, okay? So I do know what Marxism is. But the two refrains of the brainwash people, there's two refrains they always use. You don't know what Marxism is. Or Marxists who are unwittingly brainwashed into Marxism will say you don't know what Marxism is because, see, it's something else besides what they think it is. And the other refrain is, what are your sources? What are your sources?
Uh-huh.
It's I even wrote this person once. This person was actually a relative, and they said, well, what is Marxism? So I told them what Marxism was, and I didn't use my things. I used the words of Lenin, Marx, Engels, Mao. I mean, I quoted all of them to explain what Marxism was, and their immediate reply is, what are your sources? Well, my sources were the Marxists were my sources. And this is their mentality. You know, it's just like, and this is intentional because Horkheimer and Adorno, two Jewish Marxist philosophers of the Frankfurt School in 1956, wrote a book called Towards a New Manifesto. And they said Americans will never accept terms like socialism, communism, Marxism. So what we're going to do is we're going to rename it critical theory. Okay. So very clearly, critical theory is Marxism because Marxists have defined critical theory as Marxism. But if you look on the internet and you ask them this question, you ask the question, is critical theory Marxism? You know, it hedges. It says, well, they started out that way, but it's become its own new philosophy. I mean, the misinformation, the people who scream misinformation, disinformation, they are the people who are projecting constantly misinformation and disinformation. In other words, if somebody tells you, oh, that's misinformation or disinformation, they are the purveyors of disinformation and misinformation. They're the ones who are doing it.
Gotcha. How much longer are we going to get away with this before war breaks out, real war? The polls want nukes. The polls are asking Europe to give them nukes.
Yeah, they're going to get their nuclear war, but, I think that everybody needs to use this time to get prepared. And then, once again, my book, available on Amazon.
Oh, for God's sakes,
The Final Wars.
Yes.
The Final Wars. How to Survive, The Coming Civil War, World War III, and the Collapse of Civilization. Get it and prepare now. Get prepared now. Don't wait until they're ready to actually push the button to prepare. I mean, prepare now for this. And also I put in information in there about how you can know what's going on in the world so you can make judgments by yourself without having to listen to what some commentator says.
Okay? I agree.
Because what we see, remember when I started talking about the Israel and Gaza, I said they're going to. It's a very Zionist Marxist thing. The inevitability of gradualism. They've gradually just encroached on Gaza and the West Bank. They're gradually encroaching into Syria. Now they're encroaching. Making the war peripheral to Iran. But one day they will arrive at the point that Netanyahu wants. And that is, he wants to drag us into war with Iran. That will be the death of everybody you know and love. When we go to war with Iran, that will be the end. That is the final war of civilization. That is Iran, Turkey, and Russia against Israel. It will be a nuclear war.
There's an American advanced, I guess you could call it AWACS, probably an AWACS type plane, but it's doing surveillance. It's flying off, 50 miles or less over the water to the west of the Bushehr reactor in Iran.
Yeah.
Around and around. It's gathering data. They're planning. So that's not going to be good. All that radiation will go right over Iran.
The Arabs are not going to be happy because when they bomb that nuclear plant, they're going to release radioactivity into the groundwater that feeds the United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, Qatar, Bahrain. That is their water supply.
Oh, it's going to go east into China eventually. You watch. You watch. This is, this is nuts.
These people are insane that run our world.
Correct. Okay? Absolutely. Yeah. Well, look at World War II. Look at World War I. They haven't learned.
Yeah.
Except kill more people, make more money. Thank you, Mitchell. Yep. Great job.
Okay,
talk to you next time.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Good night. Mitchell Henderson, and we shall continue in just a few minutes. Hold on.